You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Zen Gardner. Zen began writing and blogging 9 years ago after a lifelong quest for truth and several major life changes. He focuses on empowering humanity to reach its full potential and conscious awareness. He is a frequent guest on numerous radio shows, always striving to awaken and share inner knowledge. He has a new book that just came out called You Are the Awakening, which is available on his website at www.zengardner.com, as well as on Amazon Books. Also on his website is his well-known blog, Just Wondering, which sets the standard for getting to the truth behind the facade of things. So let's welcome him to the show now. Hi, Zen. How are you?
Hey, Lance. I'm great. How are you, brother?
Good. You know, it's really funny. You do so much to expose the truth, and I had a number of ways that I could start the show, but one of the things that I've noticed about your articles is that there are quite a few on mind control, and I just checked Facebook real quickly, and somebody posted a link to a message from Greg Giles, who is taking his blog down because he realized that he was under government psyops, psychological operations, and he realized that all of his channeled messages were just radio frequencies that were beamed into his head. That's the first time I've ever seen that. We hear about it, but, you know, I've never seen anybody actually admit it.
That is unique. I haven't heard that. It's that's the new frontier there.
Right, right. Do you find, as you write your blogs and you gain understanding and through your research, that the rabbit hole gets deeper and deeper, no matter how much you discover?
Yeah, I mean, aside from that, it's interdimensional. You know, it starts. It's we've got so many things to learn and grow into. It's dumbfounding. I mean, you know, anybody that any of us respect in any field of research or knowledge or philosophy will tell you that the more they know, the more they realize they don't know. And it's you know, we sort of regress into a more childlike attitude about creation and existence and a much more natural way of being, which of course was repressed, suppressed, compressed, and screwed up from birth when we were, you know, hatched, and our parents, who were also screwed up, and their parents were screwed up, made a real mess of us when we were little, and leaving us in complete abandonment as the spiritual beings we were. And we spent most of our lives trying to recover from that or compensate for it or, you know, act it out and, you know, run into all kinds of complications. I'm finding that a real key to understanding and unraveling my experience here on this planet. And it just happens to be the way things are, just like this insane geopolitical situation we're finding ourselves. It just happens to be the way it is. A lot of people are fighting it, protesting it, and all that kind of thing. But it's the way it is. We have to accept it and realize that it's a natural unfolding in many ways. As unnatural as it may appear, things are unraveling. Things are transitioning. And it's a continual process, just like you watch, you know, beautiful planet Earth. It evolves, it changes. Some of it looks violent, some of it's slowly growing and absolutely magnificent and fragrant. Other parts are terrifying. It's part of existence. So I don't know. I've been obviously thinking about this last few days, about people, myself included, you know, learning to accept where we are before we can really begin to understand it, instead of trying to fight against it, like beating your way out of a wet paper bag.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because I find that the more I accept where I am, the more I find out that I don't know. You know, I think I'm on a planet, and then all of a sudden you hear about, it's a flat Earth, and Paul is dead, and his head was cut off, and the phony that came in, and I mean, it's just everything just shifts and changes, and there is so much, there is such a strong, powerful communications web set up to control humanity, and people don't realize that that's going on at all times, 24/7, to keep us dumbed down and from becoming more aware, because that would be the end of the control system.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what is it? It say this is the time of the revelation, the apocalypse. Things are peeling, layers are peeling away before our eyes. So, I mean, you know, ideally it shouldn't surprise us, but on the same token, it still should be awesome, the things that we're realizing. But to find out the Earth may not be round is, you know, that doesn't startle me all that much. It's, you know, I just put up a very compelling video on the Flat Earth movement on the website just now, about half an hour ago. The research and the approach to it gets more and more not just comprehensive, but I guess you'd say palatable for people, because at the very least, what I say to people when they ask me about it, I say, listen, there are anomalies that should make anybody wonder regarding curvature of the Earth, why doesn't the plane just lift off the ground and just wait a few minutes and land in China if the Earth is spinning that freaking fast? There's so many things that don't make sense. You know, why aren't buildings over the horizon tilted a little bit the other direction? Even the visible horizon. You know, there's so many things that, according to what we've been told in the Newtonian physics and the Copernican world, you know, what's to be surprised about that we've been completely lied to on every possible level? And in fact, to me, that's a liberating thing, because you can really throw the whole thing out and start afresh. You know, you can just dump it. You don't have to reason with it anymore. You don't have to argue with it. You don't have to try to justify your past understand everything. Just dump it and go by experiential evidence. You know, it's very much like what happens to people who take plant medicines. You know, they have experiences that show them there's other worlds of consciousness. There's no more reading of books and arguing with people till they're blue in the face. There's none of this skeptical mind trip stuff. They just find out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like I was sharing with someone today. The idea of death, you know, is like people say, it's like walking from one room into another. When you go into the next room, whether it be death or a big life change, when you walk into the next room and you sit down in the next room and you experience it, it is a whole new environment. It's a whole plethora of new stimuli. And you virtually, in many respects, forget where you just were, because you're no longer sensing those things. You are now in a new environment. And now you're processing that. Now, there's a vague memory that's stored somewhere, but it's a whole new thing. Life changes are like that. Life and death are like that. There's so many things like that. So this kind of transition we're going through is very much like that. Simply walking from one room into another, call it, you know, maybe it's not as stark as that. Maybe it's more transitional, more, you know, more layered. What do you call it? More of a continuum, but we move on. And if you, and like they say, if you quit changing, if you're through changing, you're through. Right now is the time to really let go and go with these changes, which is what I write about continually, to try to encourage people, because a lot of people are suffering, and that bothers me. You know, they're feeling lonely, but they're going through it because they're not letting go. And the solution is so simple. Or they're not finding more truth. Again, the solution is very simple. You know, it's letting go. It's opening your heart, opening your mind, and literally, physically, psychically, psychologically, spiritually, letting go of previous conceptions, previous ideas, stuff in your life. It can even be relationships that are on the wrong footing. It could be a whole lot of stuff. But if we let go, then we can float downstream. I mean, it's a rapids right now. I have to admit, it's a cataract that's throwing people all over the place. But those two can be fun, if you know what you're getting into. But that's where we're at. And it's not just sucking us down that river in this beautiful vibrational change. These so-called this parasitic power elite, they're getting sucked down the river. Don't think for a second they're not getting influenced by all this. They're getting sucked down. That's why they're acting like these thrashing, you know, freaking dragons they are, throwing themselves around, making a mess of everything and being so obvious about it because they're in their death throes. And this is a transition. It is something that we can observe. It's something we can be fearless about, something we can be very aware of. And that I think that's really important that people know that. It's a place of peace that can be found and solace in a time of confusion, which is only going to get turned up. We're heading into more and more strange stuff, as you know.
Oh, yeah. No question about that. You know, there was a radio show not too long ago that I listened to that was discussing the, I think it was John Lear, was discussing the base on the far side of the moon and how the corporations are mining it 24 hours a day, and that it looks almost Earth-like, that there are rivers and trees and things like that, not as lush as Earth. But to even the idea that the whole other side of the moon is entirely different and natural and organic, and then you've got this artificial front that is always facing us so we can't really see what's yeah. going on behind it, and the idea that corporations are all in on it, that's an interesting idea. And then the Civilization One that is about 100 years ahead of the technology that we have that could literally break away from us, and they have all of the technology that could take them into into other dimensions and times.
Yeah, there's so many parallel ideas about all this. The idea of the breakaway civilization is quite intriguing because you know these this so-called, you know, New World Order or the Black Hand, these dark psyop militarized forces, they're way ahead scientifically, so-called mm-hmm. scientifically, than from what we're being told, which is obvious as all heck, but that they're looking for some other way to perhaps escape the planet or transcend the planet, like they're obviously doing with transhumanism. You know, these games are at play, but it's almost comical to watch because when you look at Earth, I mean, you take it back to the real fundamental viewpoint that we have not taken care of where we live at all. You know,
right?
Not only that. Nor has it been fully explored or appreciated, but or understood, but they're destroying it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're dealing with some other, at the very least, occult, you know, hidden force, and you know, to me, it's obvious. It has to be transdimensional because or spiritually based.
Right.
And some sort of a parasitic invasion.
Yes.
And for which there are a lot of explanations, and all of which, to me, you can kind of weave them together and come up, you know, be it the Gnostic text or even the Bible or, you know, from the Quran or, you know, ancient spiritual teachings, they all allude to the same thing. There's something else that is in conflict with the interest of the natural human species here. So in my, to go back to my earlier point, it's very much a playing field, a training ground, call it. But obviously we're in a contest for a purpose, and I think it's important to maintain that perspective in order to really keep balance, keep centered, to be able to do the very best we can in each situation we're in, to have that overall perspective. But on the same token, to enter into the fray, because we're not here just to be observers. Let's face it, you and I are in bodies, you know, bodies that are attacked with all kinds of crap all day long, you know.
Yeah.
Plus these guys are trying to obviously kill us with all of their machinations. So it's, you know, it's a contest, it's a fight. But on the same token, you know, philosophically, it's a form of a game, not in a light sense, but it's a playing out of sorts. You know, it's something's rolling out, and you know, we can detach to understand it from that perspective. But on the same token, we have to enter in. We have brothers and sisters, children, grandchildren all over the world that are suffering. Well, if we aren't moved to alleviate suffering and take care of others, then why the hell are we here?
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's the biggest denial of our of source any living creature can have. You know, a mother will run in front of a bus to get her child. You know, it's the natural response.
Right, right. And of course, when you start digging into the control paradigm, you can see that everything is very, very cleverly thought out. To the nth degree,
yeah.
To control, destroy, and to harm the planet and humanity. And it does. You mentioned transhumanism, and of course, it seems like there is an alignment with nanotechnology to literally transform the planet from what it is as an organic life form into something that is non-organic. And of course,
I agree.
Yeah, that opens up the whole area of artificial intelligence being behind it. Maybe all of the boogeymen that we've thought of in the past, like Lucifer and Satan and the various bad guys that we've collected in our basket. Maybe they're all bundled up in artificial intelligence, and those are just facets of its projections. I don't know. Then there are demigods, and there are astral entities, and so many people are, you know, saying that the reptilians are working from the astral plane to tap line and control individuals, like the major politicians and the people who are at the top of the Bilderbergs and the Illuminati and so on and so forth. At the very least, all of the secret societies have been infiltrated and are being run secretly, and that information is being kept from us. As far as our true heritage and where we came from, most people don't go back more than a couple thousand years, but we know that, in a sense, there are millions and millions and millions of years of history, and in another sense, there's none, because there is no such thing as time. So... It all gets pretty interesting when you get out into Alice in Wonderland world.
You're not kidding. Boy, I love how you think, Lance. That I'm on the same page. There's a lot to wonder about, which is why my byline is, you know, just wondering, because really, actually knowing is up to the individual. Knowing anything is an individual experience. And that's why I really dislike the word belief or the word hope, because they're it's ethereal cereal. It doesn't lead anywhere. It has no concrete application. It's misleading. It's easily manipulated, those kinds of concepts and terms, which I'm sure you'll agree with. But I wrote something down. You know, it's interesting you said about these guys being so intelligent. I'm about to release another article probably tomorrow. It's a article I've put up before that I reworked, but it's the serpentine stealth of the long-range planners. And it's how these these guys, they are, they're inspired. You have to hand it to them. And it always baffled me. How can the, Amschel Rothschild back in the 1700s have such passion about this worldwide plan, you know, which he passed on to Weishaupt and the Illuminati, and I mean, however it worked out. I mean, you can be sure there's people behind that or entities behind that. Mm-hmm. But and that's just a recent manifestation because it comes from the ancient mystery schools, of course. But it's what made them so passionate about putting into place the mechanisms they did in their day, you know, the banking system, the main tick, the main parasite on humanity as far as the economy, you know, economic and otherwise on the control system. You know, how can they have, and they foresaw the day, you know, like Albert Pike and these guys, they looked forward to the day when the world would, this would happen and that would happen. Mm-hmm. Now, they didn't get to live and see the fulfillment of these plans. Yet they had that same driving passion to see it come to pass. Now, who on earth, as far as a conscious, loving human being, would ever plan something so nefarious? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, who could conceive of such a thing? Which, mm-hmm. as you know, is how they can hide in plain sight, because people can't. They don't think like them, so they can't believe it exists. But when you think about that, I mean, you know, we love our kids, we love our grandkids, and yes, we want to see a better world, but the simple things we do to plan for it are live well, you know, intend well, love well, you know, take care of each other, hopefully, you know, better the world around you. And these guys, the way they think, the way they operate, it is so off the charts different and so well planned, but it's long range. And that's the thing that's really freaky. That's when you start to realize, when you connect the dots, there's this other dimensional element to all of this, because it's looking way down the road that's past the framework that we live in. Now, mind you, we're mind screwed and mind controlled since we're born, you know, which we have to snap out of, and we are, but it's so nefarious and so actually extremely, I mean, you could call it intelligent, like you mentioned, but there's another word for it, I don't know what it is, but it's this sort of scheming has this other dimension to it. And I heard an interesting thing once, I think you'll find interesting, that their so-called gift, forte is to think in these long-term plans. Ours, as far as the human being and, you know, our consciousness and our spirits in this existence, ours is short-term. Mm-hmm. We have a gift for the short-term. So we can move around, and that baffles them. And when you think about this, you think of how slow, like the Rockefellers even look, or you know, these people, they look, the Rothschilds, they look slow. They don't look quick. They're very slow looking. They're dull looking. Whereas we're really quick. We're fast. So we can outmaneuver them in the immediate. They don't worry about it too much. Plus, they can't conceive of it. It's very much like the vibrational thing. They're at a lower level of vibrational existence, and we're at a higher level. And they can't quite understand us or perceive us, but they think in this long-term thing with their big net and their big web and all this stuff, they're not that worried about us, because they figure they're, you know, I've got this global thing under construction. Mm-hmm. But we can outmaneuver them. We have the gift of initiative. We are the ultimate spiritual gorillas. And this call to action to me is very compelling. Like with Ken O'Keefe's recent initiative and the Full Circle Project that Max Egan came up with. And I'm working with both of those. These are very concrete. They're very real. There's something to do. And there's something about taking the initiative. There's something about applying yourself in a proactive way that enlivens your spirit, that makes a difference for yourself individually, but also has an impact in something that that clearly has the right social impact. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why I encourage people, you know, get out, take action, find a way. I mean, at the least, blog, you know, network like crazy, talk to people, make changes, let go of stuff in your life, you know, get real, keep changing and that kind of a thing. But it really comes to very serious points of decision for people where they get to a point, well, how far does this activation take me? Well, personally, I can't understand anybody that doesn't want to go all the way because our lives are at stake. The planet's at stake. This is no joke. This is not a part-time job. You know, that's one of the things people said during wars. They said, in many cases, people in London who were forced to pull together. I met a guy who was in one of the so-called concentration camps, and he said it was the best experience of his life. This is back in the 70s when I was traveling Europe. And he said for the first time he got in touch with who he was, and he said it woke him up. He became real. He had a very spiritual experience as a result of it, and he made the best friends of his life. And I mean, it was a remarkable response, you know, because as we know, those camps weren't what they say they were, but not all of them. Some of them were, but obviously there was a lot of experimentation and nasty stuff going on, but nothing to the degree they tell us. But anyway, I forget how I progressed to this point, but the overall perspective of understanding how these people work should propel us to wiser action, more activation, more encouragement, more inspiration to realize we really have the goods. We have what it takes, and we can outmaneuver them. And it's not a contest on their level. We can't win on their level. Right. We have to work at a higher level. We have to work at a vibrational level, and that's where the fun begins, you know, because we have them by the balls when it comes to real spiritual warfare. And this is what people need to awaken to. This is what I and you and so many others are trying to raise people's awareness of, not just to talk about it and do mental masturbation. We're here to accomplish a purpose, you know, and even that's, you know, that can be treated esoterically as far as, you know, purpose and duality and all that kind of stuff. But it's very real, just like the white blood cells are fighting the bad guys in your body. This is a very real thing going on, and we are in this existence, and it's ours to respond to what is awakening us. And what the really cool thing is, this vibrational awakening, as chaotic as it may seem on the outside, is extremely empowering and thrilling on the inside. And what I've been trying to do recently, well, for a long time, is to help people discern the difference, so they'll not look inside in the wrong way to blame themselves for external things, while at the same time we do need to look inside and make allow ourselves to go through some major changes in order to be up to this battle that's coming before us. So there's a lot of things at play. So I don't know. I'm glad I'm here. You know, some people say, oh boy, this is a horrible time to be alive. Well, I disagree. This is a great time to be alive.
Well, I agree with you, because it does seem that we are finally reaching some kind of culmination point, because I've thought for many years that things just can't keep going on like they are. And every day I get greater confirmation of that. And I see, I mean, I have an ability to see or feel empathically the effects of what is rolling out. And we only see maybe a tenth of a percent of what is coming out in the future that has already been developed. And so you can get some pretty good ideas from watching science fiction movies. And, you know, shows on TV are pretty enlightening as far as the technology goes. They put it right out there. It's kind of like, well, if you watch the show, then you've consented to it.
Yeah, know, exactly. Well said.
So,
all that predictive programming stuff, that's really important, really important stuff for people to be aware of. And you're right. It's this, we give our unspoken imprimatur, our approval of what's going on. When we watch these things unfold, I say we in the collective, big, we unfold and say nothing and, you know, don't awaken. I mean, people have been numbed down besides dumbed down. It's very sad. But you know what? I'm tired of being treated like a lab rat. Mm-hmm. And that, I think that that should be humanity's response. Don't treat me like a freaking lab rat. You know, I'm a human being, and I know I'm on to you. I get it. That's why I wrote that recent post, the Manifesto of the Awakened. It's time to for people to declare themselves to themselves and to the world of what they really are and what they really know, what they really feel, what they really think, and to come out, you know, to say screw you to all this horrific, you know, the blanket term now is political correctness, but we know it's a lot more powerful than that. That programming, you know, should piss people off. You know, mm-hmm. it should have a much more visceral reaction than it does. Instead, it's considered entertainment, which of course you just switch the letters around. It's entrainment. It's you know, exactly what you said. It's this laying it out for people to agree to it. But for goodness sake, snap the hell out of it, people. Like, you know, it's hypnotic bullshit to such a major degree that it's not a joke anymore. You know, the joke's over. The joke's over. We're going to rip the freaking covers off you guys, and we're going to get really, you know, we're going to get very direct about this. We're going to get, you know, very, very physical about this, you could call it. And, you know, I'm not for physical revolution, but, you know, well, I am in many, many respects, but you know, whatever it takes, for goodness sake, yeah. What's that?
Sometimes it's necessary. I mean, look at what's been done with humanity. The boys are thrown off to wars that they don't understand, and they're brainwashed into believing in some cause, and as the people at the top say, well, they're just fodder. They're just expendable. And that's how we're seen by the elite, and that's why we keep having all of these false flags. That's a whole other subject that is coming out very quickly. The false flags that have been occurring, the 911 and, you know, Sandy Hook and all the other ones that Fukushima is another one. I mean, they go on, and they've been going on for decades. When you actually start digging into it, you realize that that's nothing new. In fact, they did that back in the Roman times, and they probably did it back in Egyptian times. You know, it's a ploy, and unfortunately, it works. And then the public becomes dysfunctional and frightened, and I think that's one of the biggest things that is an obstacle to actually making changes is when we're placed in a state of fear and when everything that we see triggers fear, because you can't come from a state of love and compassion when you're afraid of, you know, what's in your food, what's in the chemtrails, vaccinations for the babies, when you don't trust religion anymore and, you know, your whole world falls apart. Well, maybe that's what's necessary for us to take back our responsibility and at least start by being responsible for ourselves, because I think a lot of this that's come about has occurred because people didn't want responsibility, and they started foisting it off onto government agencies. You know, you guys decide. We'll give you the power. And then now it's turned into this three-ring circus that costs billions and trillions of dollars, and it's like the good old boys club. And every year it seems like the intelligence quotient of the presidents drops about 100. And the looniness factor increases at 100. It's just a dog and pony show. And why there's still I didn't even think that there would be a presidential election by now. I thought we would have snapped out of our somnambulism, but we haven't. So, you know, the people are still waving flags, and they're still going for the Republican side and the Democrat side, not realizing that they're both the same, and they're two sides of the same coin, and they believe in money because it's a debt system that is run by the bankers, and it has nothing to do with the government. They got together and passed the Federal Reserve Act, killed a few billionaires on the Titanic in the process so that they could do it, and now we are stuck with magic Babylon money. And so I see a time when that will all fall apart because it can't sustain itself. It's unsustainable, and the level of greed and corruption is also unsustainable. If somebody's taking all of the assets, then thousands of people have to suffer, and most of humanity is paying the price for believing in the system. And, you know, a phony IRS system set up in South America. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And it's all just a ruse. And the people that are closer to the top have a better idea what's going on. And, you know, those who are above them have probably a better idea. And they might take their instructions from interdimensional beings, as far as we know. There's a lot of technology that's been handed down from other places that we have back-engineered. And then the theft of Tesla's materials. We should be living in a world today that has free energy. We know that exists privately. It's in private hands. And we should not have to pay for utilities that are killing us with increasingly harmful light bulbs. I mean, not only did they steal from Tesla, but we got light bulbs and electric wires, which are useless. And then they made these new mercury bulbs, which are so dangerous that you have to have a hazmat team, practically, to come and clean up one of the bulbs if it breaks. I mean, it's insane. And, you know, the foods that we're getting have no nutrition in them anymore. And then we've got the GMOs going on and the battle there with Monsanto and the numerous other corporations that are involved with all of that. You know, the rabbit hole just goes on and on. And so at some point you realize, well, gee, I've got to fight for my life now. I can't just go to the grocery store and just buy things off the shelf. I've got to actually read the ingredients and find out what's in these things. And, you know, aspartame, and then the big pharmaceutical industries are literally killing us, you know, and that's how they operate. They operate by allopathic medicine works by killing the disease, and that is not an intelligent design for working with the body, because everything exists for a reason, and we can actually talk to our bodies and communicate with the cells, and we don't have to use harmful radiation. It seems like they're stuck on this radiation thing, you know. But radiation everywhere, radiation from leaky nuclear sites, Fukushima, there are probably dozens of other places that are just leaching radiation. And then there's all the waste that goes into the oceans. That's farmed out to the mafias, and they take it about 10 or 20 miles out and dump it, because why should they fulfill their contract and go 300 miles out where it's safer? You can't put radiation into a container that lasts, radiation that has a half-life of 1,000 years, in a container that lasts 300. I mean, the kind of thinking that we're allowing to occur for us is absolutely detrimental to the planet and to our health. And it's, you know, the racket that is designed to keep us hooked up into the matrix is invasive. I see there's an article that you had here on your site, which I hadn't read yet, the off-grid coup, Nevada kills the solar industry. And, I mean, this kind of thing is going on all over the place. We're not being allowed to have the things that we should have had 50 years ago. You know, there were technologies 50 years ago and beyond that would have made our lives beautiful. I mean, we could be living a really creative life, but when you're stuck in a job or two jobs or three jobs, as many families and parents are, because they can't make enough money from one job to support their family, then you're in the hamster wheel. You don't have time to look into these things. So I don't blame us humanity so much. I think it's all it's from the top down. And that I think we need to look at that top, and we need to figure out who those people are, and we need to expose them. And you are. So that's why I'm not having you on the show. And we're talking about it. Zen, are you there? Did I lose you?
Here I am.
Oh,
sorry.
Good. Oh, good. I didn't lose you, did I?
No. I heard the whole thing. It was really good.
Oh.
I was just talking away. I'd muted for a second. Just think about the light bulb, for example. The original light bulb, the incandescent light invented by Edison, which is most likely, you know, who knows really who really came up with it, you know.
Right.
But you know, as you know, you can still go to a shop and the original bulb's still burning. It's you can watch a video on YouTube, and anybody can look it up, on how they designed on purpose to make the bulb run out after a certain number of hours,
mm-hmm.
burn out, to sell more bulbs. You know, it's called planned obsolescence. They do it with cars. They do it with any product. The entire economy is built on this kind of throwaway, trash-producing insanity. Anybody can look it up, but they're so busy in general consuming these things and so-called enjoying their television and their football game and all that typical stuff and working themselves to death at jobs. And the reason women had to go to work is because they wanted a second tax stream to come in. So they engineered that one. But it's all planned. But the fact is, humanity has taken it. This is the problem. The problem is humanity has taken this lying down.
Yeah.
I mean, even what you said earlier about false flags. I mean, most people don't know the French Revolution was a color revolution. It was totally engineered by the Jewish Zionist and, you know, Khazarians come in and create what they did. It was engineered. People think, oh, what a rise up of the people. Well, not a whole lot happens in this world, people, that isn't approved by these bastards.
Right.
These movements, these changes, the news headlines, and what happens with us, real people with real issues, or real love, or some real insights, you hear nothing. Not in the mainstream, not even in the side stream. You've got to really dig deep to hear anything that's got anything any substance to it, because it's a clampdown.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten worse, but it's always been this way. It really is no different. It's just more obvious.
Right.
It's more pronounced. It's more accentuated right now because we've got this massive influx of information that people have been able to tap into. And most of us have been starved from it all of our lives. And when we found it, it's like a hurricane. I mean, there was this huge vacuum in us, and we drew this information in, and it caused this tremendous storm of awakening, call it, and that's a good thing, and it's you know, they can't control it, not yet. They're trying to. They're coming up with all kinds of stuff and a lot of theories about all that stuff. But the fact is, it's here. You can get the information. The question is, what are you going to do with it? You know, are you you just going to read it and keep watching TV? Are you going to unplug your TV or not? Not just turn it off, unplug it. Are you going to take action on what you're learning? Is this hitting home? Are you just another observer? You know, that's the challenge, and that's why my book's called "You Are the Awakening." It's up to each individual. And I pound on that because we can't look around for movements. We can't look around for leaders. We can't look around for some kind of grand social endorsement that, oh, yes, it's okay now. You know, I mean, obviously there are things like that that happen. They say 10% of the people get something and it turns into something everybody accepts. Fine, but I'm not going to bank my freaking life on that. I'm not going to wait on that. And most people, you know, with any half of a brain are not going to wait for that. It's time to activate, for God's sake. Wake the hell up and be who you're supposed to be. It really is a personal call on a very individual level. It's not a grand external thing where we all come together in some group and everybody becomes this blob. That's not what it's about. And it's similar to what when people give me they start talking about how people should how is it? Anyway, the way we've learned is the biggest coup. We've been told what to do. We've been given information. We weren't allowed to spontaneously open up and approach life from its most obvious aspects, you know, like, who are we? Why are we here? You know, where am I? You know, these things were never even talked about. They were taboo.
Yeah.
Unless you went to church.
Manual.
Unless you went to church and got given some BS line of, you know, the boogeyman in the sky, you know, the great archon that's going to kill all your enemies and save you because you're such a good person. You're down on your knees worshiping. People are forbidden territory. And, you know, then they glorify these people who come up with these, you know, philosophical or spiritual answers of, you know, you are, you know, God is you, you are God, and all these kind of seemingly empowering things, which they are. But then they glorify or they compartmentalize this kind of information in such a way that people see it as inaccessible or it's strange or it's people are so glorified. Oh, I could never be like that. I could never be a Gandhi. I could never change the world. I'm just a little wimpy person. Well, you know, that's what they want you to think. Mm-hmm. Each one of us is eternal, infinite potential that just waiting to be realized. So when people snap out of that and start to get it, that's why I say you are the awakening. It is the individual that is the difference. One person. All it takes on this freaking planet is one person to get this and the deal's done.
Yep. You know, yep.
That's all it takes. But look, there's at least two of us, you and me. We
right.
get it. And I know a bunch of others.
Yeah, me too.
We fucking get it. So you know, screw them. You know, and it's spreading and it's spreading and it's spreading. And some people are getting it better than we are. It is wonderful. It is thrilling, and it's an honor to be in the presence of other awakened people. And another thing people go through is, oh, I just woke up last year. I got it. I learned about 9/11 or this and that. And but it's very sweetly said. I get a lot of comments on my site and emails, and they're kind of feeling a little bit condemned. They didn't get it sooner. And I tell them, listen, you've awakened to the now.
Right.
You're now.
Right.
There is no past. There is no future. You are now, and you're here. That makes no difference when you got here. You got here. You know, that's the beauty of it. It is so empowering. So it lifts the guilt. It lifts the condemnation. Like I say, you know, the only way other people can condemn you is if you've already condemned yourself in some fashion.
Mm-hmm.
People get condemned. That comes from religion and parenting and all this social conditioning crap. But, you know, people suffer a lot of guilt and a lot of crap just from, you know, letting themselves have something already in them reinforced. When they let go of it, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's not based in reality. Anyway, I'm going all over the shop, but...
Well, let's talk about your new book. We've got enough time to find out some of, you know, how what motivated you to write it, and what are some of the topics or the things that you mentioned that you feel are important that you could share tonight so that people can go out and get it?
Well, it's basically a compilation of what I consider my most apt writings on the awakening. It's divided into over the last 8 or 9 years, mostly the more recent things, and it's divided into four chapters. Regarding what is the awakening, and then how it affects you, the battles about feeling alone, the issues that you run into when you awaken, which most people run into, and how to confront them, and trying to encourage and inspire people through that process, and then things you run into after you've awakened, the things some of the major strange things that start to become aware of, such as how language was manipulated, how your fundamental concepts are going to come apart now because what you were taught was fundamentally wrong in every mm-hmm. possible way. So that takes it apart. And the last section, and there's a lot of things in there, and the last section is about taking action. What do you do with this awakening? How do you move forward? But the unique thing about the book, and why I would just love to see it in everybody's home, is because each article is a standalone. It develops the idea that it's approaching, and it always ends with the same message, a similar message of empowerment, the fact that there is a solution, that you are the solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I put in quotes, I put in a lot of substantial information. I refer to current events quite a bit to kind of put those things in perspective. But anybody could just sort of crack it open and read an article if they're a little bit down or just want something to kind of, give them some zip. That's what it's aimed at. I have a second book that's in the works too. That's going to get into the more wild and esoteric stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Great!
It's just these are my adventures. I've written just share what I go through. I don't seek to be, popular. I don't seek to be anything. I'm putting down my thoughts, but I have a very sincere sense of compassion for humanity and for my fellow man that's going through something, and I'm an empath like you. I feel feel what's going on, and often I'll write about something that I'm just feeling and I'm sensing. And I mean, it's not based on nothing. I'm not a channeler in that respect. I'm an empath, and I listen.
Right.
And I hear.
Right.
And I feel. And information affects me. And I'm well read and informed. And then it formulates, and how it is. And I'll put something out there that's, out there that's nobody's said. I'm not trying to jump the gun on anybody, but then people write back and go, oh, my God, I can't believe it. You just said what I was thinking. And I'll get tons of those kind of responses, which are encouraging, but that's not why I write. You know how it works.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Well,
we're just about at the end of the hour, and it's gone by so fast that it's, it just seems like we could go on talking for another couple hours. But I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your thoughts and talking about your new book. And I'd like for you to mention your websites and where people can find you, and you're on Facebook also, right?
Yes, the Facebook. It goes by. I have two Facebook pages because when you run over the likes, it'd be weird enough. If you get too many likes, they stop letting people add stuff. It's really weird. Anyway, so we opened a second Facebook page, but they're both under Zen Gardener, so they're easy to find. And the website is zengardener.com. That's GARDNER.com. Please, anybody listening, drop a note, say hi, enter into the comment section. There's a lot of great people. Got a lot of great contributors on the site. People who've written in, and I said, hey, man, that was really good. Why don't you put an article together? And a lot of these people became full-time bloggers, and their articles are all over the net now. I'm really excited about that.
Wonderful.
But it's all about that. It's about helping each other, inspiring each other. And so I think people will get a lot of encouragement and inspiration from the site. And I wish everybody the best. And you, brother, keep on, man. You are amazing. So
I just... well, thank you. I was just going to say the same thing about you.
No, I love hearing from you, man.
Thanks for all that you do, and thanks for coming on tonight. And we'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Okay, let's.
And everybody go out and get his book, You Are the Awakening, all right? All right, that's a wrap, and good night, everybody. Good night, Zen.
Good night, brother.